In this episode, we'll be spreading some holiday cheer.
And swearing loud for all to hear.
From Wondery, I'm Brooke Ziffrin.
And I'm Arisha Skidmore-Williams.
And this is the Even the Rich year-end special.
That's right. We promised you guys a fun episode to close out the year. And I gotta say, we definitely delivered.
We did. First, we've lined up Forbes journalist Ollie Williams, who's based in the UK, to chat about how the rich handled life in the pandemic.
And when we say rich, we're talking uber rich, like private island rich.
Yes. And then to follow it up, we're awarding the very first Richie Awards with culture writer Bobby Finger, host of the Who Weekly podcast.
Who will win the most cringeworthy attempt to relate to regular people award? Only time will tell.
Yep. And then to top it all off, we're going to play some games, baby. We're going to look back at some of the stories we covered this year and even hint about the ones coming in 2021.
I won't give all the stories away, but one rhymes with Marmashians.
Risha, they're never going to guess that. That clue's way too hard.
I mean, I got to make them work for it.
Yeah, definitely. So, should we get started?
Yeah, let's do it.
Now, if there's anything this year has shown us, it's that the rich are really rich.
And we're really nosy, so we wanted to know what exactly the rich have been up to this year.
That's right. So we reached out to reporter Ollie Williams to talk us through what the uber rich have been spending their money on.
Ollie is a former investment professional who's now covering the wealthy for Forbes.
Ollie, thank you so much for being here.
Great. Thank you for having me.
So, Ollie, you cover the wealthy. And when we say wealthy, we're not talking about the 1% here. We're talking about the 0.01%. Or where would you put the decimal?
I mean, these people generally, to put it into monetary terms, it's normally in the hundreds of millions and then the billions. So we're talking Europe's wealthiest entrepreneurs and families. And a lot of them just live lives which are so far removed from everyone else's. You can't really put a decimal point on it.
Is there any other term you'd use, like the super yacht crowd?
I haven't heard the super yachting crowd. There's probably a lot of less kind words towards them, but you can call them what you want. I think we all know who they are.
For a lot of us, the pandemic has meant being stuck in one place for a very long time. But the rich haven't really stayed put, have they?
No, they haven't. No. So if we go back to March, when lockdown was happening in Europe and then America, people were just heading out of cities. People were just getting in their cars, getting on their private jets and just heading out. And it was to the country or to their second homes in Europe. And this happened again in the second lockdown we had in Europe, which started to take effect in countries from September and October. Then from people I were talking to, they were heading to Greece, they were heading to Ibiza, they were heading to Spain, they were heading to their houses there, and they were getting out. They were getting out of the cities which they had briefly returned to and going out again. So yes, the money has scattered and it has been constantly moving. There's been no stopping that. And thanks to private jet travel, which has been one of the success stories of the pandemic, you're right, the rich have not stopped moving. They've carried on just bouncing from place to place to place since March.
Yeah, you talked about a term, private jet virgins, in one of your articles.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So when we talk about the jet set, well, we think people who fly private jets all the time. Well, there's lots of rich people who don't see the need to fly private jets. I mean, it seems illogical. If you can book your place in first class, and first class is very comfortable, why would you need a private jet? These are the people who are now renting private jets because they think a commercial airline is probably not a good place to be when there's a pandemic floating around. So better, therefore, to book a private jet. These people probably haven't flown a private jet before, but they've got the money to do so. Mm-hmm. And so these are the private jet virgins who are breaking their private jet virginity in order to still get around.
Yeah. Now, there was one story in your articles that, as a dog owner, really stayed with me. You probably already know which story I'm talking about. It involved an 8-seater jet handling teams at airports in London and St. Moritz, and a 6-month-old Labrador puppy. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, of course. This is a bizarre story, but quite a delightful story of one British family who was stuck in Switzerland. So this was in June when there was all sorts of quarantines, meaning that you can return to Britain without spending 2 weeks stuck at home. And they had this 6-month-old Labrador puppy, and they wanted to be with it over the summer. And so they booked a private jet, and they flew it from their home in Belgrave, which is a very wealthy, exclusive part of London, all the way to Switzerland in, as you say, an 8-seater jet. It cost them around $12,000. But obviously, for them, this was worth it because because the family were thrilled to be reunited with their Labrador puppy. When they arrived at St. Moritz, and they were very excited, and they stood there waiting for the private jet to arrive. And for them, it was money well spent.
Yeah, no money is too great for a puppy. That's my motto. Okay, so let's talk for a second about golden passports. This is something that the rich have been doing for a while, basically buying citizenship to other countries. But this year, people haven't been content with just one citizenship. They've been buying them up like Christian Louboutins. You just can't have too many, can you?
So the way this works is there are several countries around the world, and they're normally small countries or islands, and they sell their citizenship for a price. So this has been going on for a number of years, right? But over the past year, and especially in the second half of this year, US citizens have been buying up these citizenships. And this hasn't really happened before, because formerly, if you had a US passport, well, that was pretty good. You know, you can travel most of the world without restrictions. Mm. But now, a combination of factors, one of which is COVID, and then there was the election. A lot of US citizens started buying passports, and they were buying Caribbean passports initially because they were the cheapest and the quickest. So if anything happened, if something bad went down in the States, they could get out. But then they started buying other passports. Mm-hmm. Then they went down the Portugal route and the Malta route and so on, so on, so on, until they had a collection of passports of which to use just in case anything happened. And this is probably going to cost someone several million pounds. I mean, the Caribbean passports are about $100,000. Portugal is 350,000 euros.
Wow.
But the most prized one is, I mean, we talk golden passports. A golden passport would be New Zealand, because everyone has looked at New Zealand and how they have handled the pandemic.
Yeah.
And so if you got about $2 million, then, well, possibly New Zealand might let you in, and you could see out the pandemic from there.
Wow. Time to start a GoFundMe.
Yeah, seriously. So, Ollie, what else have the rich done differently during the pandemic? I mean, I'm assuming they're not doing every puzzle they own and baking bread like the rest of us. How are they handling that? What are they doing for entertainment?
So entertainment is obviously something that most of us have not seen happen since March. Now, if you've got a lot of money, you can still make entertainment happen. So let's say you wanted to go to a concert or a festival, and that has been cancelled. Well, if you're rich enough, you can fly in someone like Afrojack or Alicia Keys to perform privately to your party. And of course, these stars, these performers, have no concerts, have no festivals, so they're suddenly available. So there's been this new business flowering in just private performances from stars, from musicians, from DJs, to fly out to wherever the rich might be and to perform. And we spoke of the super yacht set. Well, this is a super yacht set's home territory. So a lot of people have been retrofitting their super yachts to have clubs or to have stages on board, so that when your superstar, when Drake or Alicia Keys flies in, then you've got there a ready place where they can perform to your party on board your yacht.
Wow. And
it's not just yachting as well. So I've spoken to a couple of people in Ibiza, and so Ibiza, you know, party island in the Med, it's normally full of rich people in their villas and their parties. Of course, this year is, again, a year like no other. I spoke to a couple of people who said that they had been fitting out private nightclubs in Ibiza villas. And this is where people use their poor house, or some of them have built purpose underground clubs, literally underground, under their tennis court in some cases, where they fitted them out so they can still host parties and, again, still fly in DJs and performers in order to carry on partying. It's all gone underground, literally underground in some cases. So the rich, they can still buy entertainment at the moment.
Thank God.
Yeah. I mean, I miss concerts. So, Ollie, how much would that set me back if I were to look into flying Alicia Keys to perform for me?
I couldn't speak for Alicia Keys, but people I've spoken to who do this say, well, it'll be anywhere between $750,000 and $1 million.
Okay.
Someone like Drake would be a treble that.
I'll stick to Spotify.
Yeah. Now, kind of more about that, there's basically the equivalent of Cameo for A-list performers. Like, the rest of us can spend like $500 and have Chris Harrison tell us we're worthy of love or whatever. But as you said, the really rich can hire Alicia Keys, for example, to sing a live set for you online, not necessarily in your home, but just online. How does that work?
Yeah, exactly. So over the past couple of months, restrictions have not allowed even the richest fly performers to them. So one thing which has taken off is these sort of streamed performances where you could have, say, Chris Martin or, as you say, Alicia Keys perform something in their studio in the US and California, and that would be live streamed to your party. So if you're, for example, in Saudi Arabia, where you have a prince and you have around him all his friends, it looks good if you're there in your compound or in your penthouse or your super yacht with all of your friends. It's quite a flash. It's quite impressive if you have Chris Martin appear on the screen doing a personalized concert to you. And this has been really good business for these stars who aren't making any money because all of their tours are cancelled. So yes, this has been another weird niche which has boomed during lockdown in many places.
Interesting. Another term besides golden passports that I learned from your articles is potlatch.
Potlatch is a term devised by anthropologists, I think Franz Boas, when he was studying 19th century tribes in the Pacific Northwest. He studied these tribes, and when he wrote about them, he said that they would have enormous competitive gifting ceremonies where tribal chiefs would lavish gifts of considerable riches upon his guests to advance his title or rank. And basically they would throw these grand parties, they would burn their canoes or throw coats on their fire just to show how rich they were. And it's mad to hear about this in 21st century in today's, but this is what a academic, Ashley Mears, has done. She's revived this term to apply to the super rich party set. So I reviewed a book of her she wrote called The Very Important People, and she studies this modern day potlatch among the super rich party set. It's when people use competitive gifting on another level in nightclubs. So we're talking about bottle trains of champagne coming along with fireworks stuck in them. I don't know if you've ever seen these, but they're quite impressive. I've seen it myself in a number of nightclubs. It's very flash, and it's hard not to be impressed by this. But what's interesting about Mears's book is that she analyzes this to such a degree, while she says the business model behind it has been perfected. So people spending hundreds of thousands of pounds on a night out, in some cases millions on a night out in nightclubs.
Do you think the idea of potlatch kind of explains why the ultra rich can't stop partying and why they're building nightclubs under their tennis courts?
I think there's some truth in that. To go back to another article I wrote, I spoke to a Swiss clinic which deals with therapies for the rich. I mean, they call themselves basically a rehab for the rich. And I spoke to them back in September, and one thing they said is that they've had an enormous cases of people, rich people, coming to them with problems over lockdown. If you're a CEO or if you're a big entrepreneur and you're used to having a whole group of employees answer to you, now you're sitting at home with nothing to do, your ego is not nurtured enough. And for some people, this actually sends them into depression or alcoholism, or it causes serious problems. So I think to go back to your point, yes, people are addicted to this sort of worshipping. And yes, perhaps they are hosting these grand parties, building these nightclubs, flying in these superstars, just so that they can make themselves feel important again.
All right, Ollie, well, that's all we have for you today. Thank you so much. This has been very eye-opening.
Great, you too. Thanks so much.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank?
Literally always.
Okay, well, the new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look, and it comes in luxe gold packaging. It feels incredibly high-end, but it is a lot more affordable.
Oh yeah, the Panorama Mascara lives up to its name by giving your lashes panoramic volume and a fully fanned out look. Its tapered mascara wand catches every single lash, including those hard-to-reach corner lashes. When I do wear makeup, I do the bare minimum, and that's usually eyeliner and mascara and lip gloss. Yeah. And so mascara has to really pop.
Yes.
And let me tell you, L'Oreal, this baby pops.
Yeah. I do love the packaging. Like, I'm all about that.
So if you're looking for an affordable mascara that gives you voluminous, lengthened lashes, you can buy the Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
So as a listener of Even the Rich, you know that audio piques the imagination, which is why we're so excited for Audible's new collection of exclusive thrillers. They feature captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances that really bring the story to life.
Oh, yeah. The next listen on my list is the psychological thriller, The Silent Patient.
Ooh.
So it's all about a therapist who tries to unravel the mystery of a woman who refuses to talk or give any explanation as to why she shot her husband. I mean, it's going to be the perfect binge listen, and you know I love my thrillers.
I can agree. And as an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog.
Yeah, new members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/eventherich or text eventherich to 500-500.
That's audible.com/eventherich or text eventherich to 500-500 to get started. Hi, Bobby. How are you?
I'm great. How are you two?
We're good. Thank you so much for being here. Now, before we get started, can you just explain to our audience what your podcast, Who Weekly, is about?
I can. I'll try to do it quickly. It's not that complicated, but I always end up using way too many words to talk about it. Essentially, my co-host, Lindsay Weber, and I created the podcast after a long-running joke between the two of us and some of our friends. And honestly, I think most people who are in any way, exposed to tabloids and celebrity entertainment journalism had, which was that we were seeing more and more people we couldn't describe or explain on the cover of magazines and in Us Weekly, just online. And it was like, who's this? Who's this? Who's this? And we developed this binary categorization of celebrities, which is essentially who's. And they are the people you look at and say, who? And then there are thems. Those are the people you look at and say, them. It's just sort of like, it's making the A-list, B-list, C-list thing even easier. And so every week we talk about the who's in the news, because ultimately they're just more fun to talk about. They're the ones who want the most attention. It's a fun category of celebrity to talk about. Usually doesn't get too dark or upsetting.
Yeah, that's always good.
It's just very silly.
And a little birdie told us that Who Weekly also has an award show. Can you tell us about it? What's your top award?
We do. Well, we change them around every year. The one that we do without fail every year is definitely sponsored content, SponCon of the Year. but we call them the Who Me's, which is admittedly a terrible name, but it's one of those things I'm sure we've all started things or named things or said things that we can't take back, and then they're just stuck. So we have this annual award show called the Who Me's, as in someone literally saying, who, me? And we do it every year. It's supposed to sound like the Grammys. I mean, it's really bad. It's a bad title, but we do it every year.
Okay. Well, the Richies are awards for any combination of rich shenanigans and general pop culture. Basically think like the Razzies, mm-hmm. but for messy celebs instead of bad movies. So are we ready to do this, guys?
I am.
Okay. Okay, so our first Richie is for most tone-deaf attempt to connect to regular people. And that award is going to go to Gal Gadot and her Imagine video, basically. For those who don't know, she gathered a bunch of her celeb friends like Kristen Wiig, Jamie Dornan, to sing. And I use that term loosely.
Rich coming from us.
Okay, please. They basically sang John Lennon's Imagine, and it did not go over well, to say the least.
I think what gets me is the reminder that this came, I mean, we hadn't even gotten our sourdough starters yet. You know, like, it was so early on in the pandemic that I still can't believe it. Like, the celebrities were freaking out before anyone. Like, they couldn't deal with one day of isolation, and they were already making these videos. Like, it came so early. I think that's the thing that I will remember most about this. Mm-hmm. Like, this wasn't June or July.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. I kept thinking about what this text chain was like. Like, did Gal, like, was she like, who are the people that I know would love this? Or did she send it to every celebrity she knows? And just, like, were people sending emojis like, oh my God, this is such a great idea. I wish we could see this.
Yeah.
See where the chaos started.
There were a lot of people I wouldn't have assumed would be like, yes, I'm totally down for this. But
I think that wasn't Jamie Dornan had to release some statement later where he was like, I didn't even know what was going on. Like, it's very Jamie Dornan behavior to sort of be blunt in a sort of interview situation. But he said something along the lines of, I understand why you cringed at this. Like, I don't know how this happened. Like, Kristen and I did a movie together. She texted me. I said, sure. Like, I think that's kind of how it all happened. They were like, yeah. Gal said it. Yeah. Sure. Why not?
They all just blame her. Yeah. Throw it right under the bus.
Okay. So I have the Richie Award for most perplexing rich person in isolation. And that's going to Madonna in the bathtub. also, something that happened early on, which is truly a theme that I hadn't realized until you pointed it out. That was when she said, COVID is the great equalizer, from her petal-filled bath. Which is so relatable to nobody who isn't a celebrity.
Right, exactly.
It's the great equalizer. And what's terrible about it is what's great about it. What's terrible about it is it's made us all equal in many ways.
So weird. Just very weird. And like the music in the background is just like strange.
And did she also have some long-running or sort medium-running Instagram series where she was releasing these videos and these like writings? It was one of those things that was like, I think everyone can relate to the desire to want to pick up some new habit or hobby in the early stages of the pandemic, and then you just very quickly abandon it. But when you're a high-profile person, it's a little more notable. You're like, oh, yikes. Yeah. She wasn't really going to do this for 12 months.
Yeah. So the runner-up for this, Bobby, we have January Jones's whole thing. And we're hoping you can talk a little bit about this, because it's just, I follow her on Instagram, and I actually love following her on Instagram, but she's definitely got this quarantine vibe going on.
Yeah. I think January Jones, I think it goes back to, I wasn't a Mad Men person. I didn't watch it. So my first real introduction to January Jones, apart from Love Actually, was the drama surrounding the paternity of her child. And she still hasn't revealed that. And I always thought that was kind of cool. Oh. And it's just so rare. And so she's always seemed like, to me, someone who is, I mean, in terms of the who, them status, she seems very comfortable in her position of celebrity or her tier of celebrity. Mm-hmm. She's never, at least to me, maybe I'm not the expert on January Jones here, but she seems very comfortable right where she is, and that she doesn't have aspirations to be any more or less famous. And so this reads like an extension of that, where she's just like, I'm just going to have fun and I'm not going to worry about what it does to me because, like, who cares? And I think that that was appealing to people for a lot of reasons. Like, she did that. She did so much weird content throughout the quarantine. And I don't really think it made anyone like her less. You know, if anything, it made them like her more. Yeah. It was like, oh, it's relatable. We're all just sort of, you know, treading water and behaving very erratically. But I think she seems really weird and fun and frequently fully alone. Like, there were a lot of celebrities over the pandemic who you got the feeling like, who took that photo or how many people are in the house with you? And I never got that photo. Yeah. I never got that vibe from her at all. Just like responsible, solitary,
all by
strange.
Herself.
All by herself. Yeah.
Okay, so the next Richie I have is biggest swing and a miss, and that's going to founder Jeff Katzenberg and CEO Meg Whitman of Quibi, which was supposed to be this short-form video service for commutes, which launched April 6th, right as commutes disappeared. And December 1st, as of December 1st of this year, it was officially shut down. So I'd say that that definitely qualifies as a swing and a miss. I only checked out two shows on Quibi, and that was Chrissy's Court with Chrissy Teigen, who I love, and Kirby Jenner, which is this guy who pretends to be Kendall Jenner's fraternal twin.
That sounds absolutely hilarious. Sad I missed it.
Yeah. Well, he has Instagram, so.
Okay, great.
Yeah. I would have given it more of like an honest shot had it not been exclusively on your phone. Like, even beyond, I get that the commuting stuff is unfortunate and they couldn't have planned for that. I also think that they were trying to solve a problem that didn't exist, but whatever. It was just like, I don't like watching things on my phone, so I just never watched it. I like Chrissy Teigen. Yeah. I'm just not going to watch her on my phone. I like the, you know, the cast of Game Show. That was a funny show, but I'm not doing that on my phone. And I think by the time they finally let you, you know, airplay it or cast it to your TV, it was long gone. I stopped caring.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too late. That's definitely fair.
Yeah. Okay. The next one is one that Arisha and I could just do a whole podcast about. So it's the award for biggest open secret. And the award goes to Ellen and the fact that she's evil. So basically, a bunch of stories were published alleging that Ellen's notoriously nice persona was a front. There's a whole Twitter thread of just this guy was like, I'll donate money for every story of your experience working with Ellen. And it's a very, very long thread. Obviously, people were commenting jokes in there. So like some of them were obviously not real.
He ran out of money.
But
he's like, I have no more money left.
Yep. Sorry, guys. But, you know, and I actually, so my mom met Ellen DeGeneres at this like celebrity golf tournament, and it was for charity. And she was with Portia, and my mom was the only one around. There was nobody else around. And she was like, hey, Ellen, I'm a big fan. And Ellen just turned and looked at her with this like, how dare you speak to me look on her face, didn't say anything and walked away. And my mom was like, okay, opinion changed immediately. Like, but I was like, man, you're there for charity. So, and my mom told me that, and I was like, oh, you know, maybe she just doesn't want to be bothered.
Yeah.
But then this Twitter thread came out, and whew,
yeah,
crazy.
It's I know my mom is an Ellen fan, and I don't know that the news. I wasn't going to be the one to break it to her, and I don't think the news ever trickled down to her. And the show was still on. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, I think the people who knew already knew, who were going to know already knew. The people who were surprised weren't watching the show anyway. Like, it's one of those things where I don't, like, what has actually changed? I don't know. Like, everything. I was just reading the tabloids this week, and there was something, Life and Style or something. There was some long two-page spread about, and again, it's the tabloids, but this long two-page spread about how she and Portia are stronger than ever. I was like, wow, she really weathered the storm. And for a while, it kind of seemed like she was going to quit or be forced out.
I feel like part of it was that this whole year, there's been so much going on in the news that there wasn't enough airtime for it. Like, if we had spent a full, you know, month after month talking about how terrible she is, then maybe something would have happened. and there would have been this drive to like make a change. But, you know, we're fighting a pandemic. We're fighting getting 15 cents on the dollar from the government for having to be in this pandemic. So it's just, there's so many other things going on that everyone just forgot about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told my husband, I was like, if you're going to have a scandal, this is the year.
Truly.
Because it'll very quickly go away and there will be a new one right after people will forget about it.
We've got like 2 weeks left to start a scandal.
Okay. So our next Richie is for biggest celebrity who got the Rona.
Ooh.
And that is going to Tom Hanks. Basically, this was right at the beginning, right? Like, we heard Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson got it and we were all like, oh my God, a celebrity has coronavirus. And like, it was just insane. So I think that's, I mean, he deserves it, right? He was the first major celebrity to get the virus. So
maybe that's why all the celebrities panicked. Because they were like, if Tom Hanks, one of us, can get coronavirus, we're screwed.
Yeah. Madonna was like, that's it. Get me my bathtub. Tom has it. But thank God they're both fine.
Yeah. They were in Australia when that happened.
They were, yeah. Ironically, because Australia handled it so well.
Ugh, yeah. New Zealand's the place to be.
So our last Richie is your category, Bobby. Mm.
The last Richie is best surprise baby announcement. And that goes to Mindy Kaling, who went on Colbert to say that she just gave birth to her second kid named Spencer, and no one knew she was pregnant. And not only did no one know she was pregnant, she was like deliberately fooling us with like particularly like cropped photos and stuff like that, where she was putting it on her Instagram because she wanted it to be a surprise. And it was just, it just came out of nowhere. No one knew. No one knew.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I keep thinking of Kylie Jenner and how she basically like went off the map when she was pregnant. And 2020 has made it so easy for celebrities to be pregnant in complete peace. No one has to know. So one bonus.
How dare they? I'm just kidding.
I know. We have a right.
You have to know.
Oh, man.
And this is the one that no one, like, she didn't say who it was with, nothing, right?
Like January Jones.
Like January Jones.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say.
So, Bobby, that was all we had. It was so fun to have you on for our first Richie's Awards segment. Ceremony? What do we want to call this? I don't even know.
It's a ceremony.
Ceremony.
It's a ceremony.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. I didn't wear this gown for nothing.
Good point. Good point. Well, I can't wait for the after party in my closet. Yeah.
When you find new ways to save, you can reach your financial goals more easily and still have the occasional treat.
Exactly. And Chime's here to help you do that. With a Chime checking account, you can make financial progress with features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe or getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit.
Yep. So if you set up direct deposit into your Chime account and use an activated debit card, Chime will spot you up to your limit when you exceed your balance.
Mm, and I love that Chime never charges fees or interest for using SpotMe. To date, Chime has spotted members over $20 billion.
Oh my God. Take more control of your finances and say goodbye to monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/rich. That's chime.com/rich.
Chime feels like progress.
Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in SpotMe and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's buyoptimizers.com/IFSTORIES, promo code IFSTORIES10.
Arisha, it's time.
Time for what?
Time to get messy. For our last segment, we're going to play a couple games.
Okay, fun. And what do I win?
Well, my eternal love and affection.
Okay, I thought I already had that, but okay. Well,
you'll have it more after this. Okay, so first, we're going to play Would You Rather? We've met some very interesting characters on this show this year, and it'll be fun to think about, you know, things that will never in a million years happen.
Okay, so I'm totally down. Yeah.
Okay, my first one for you is, would you rather party with Donatella Versace or inherit from Rupert Murdoch?
I would love to inherit Rupert Murdoch's money. I don't want any of his, like, you know, news or anything like that. I just want the money, the yachts, all that, 100%.
Yeah, so you don't want to smell Chanel, is what you're saying?
No, I don't want to smell Chanel. I mean, she doesn't smell Chanel anymore anyway.
That's true.
And at least, like, during a pandemic, you can still do stuff with money.
Okay, my next one for you. Would you rather be a Kennedy wife or a Windsor wife?
Oh, my gosh. This is... These choices are horrible. Like, they both just, after having covered both of these families, I'm just like, both of these lives do not seem as grand as they once were in my mind. But I'm gonna go with Windsor, solely because there seems to be such a curse on the Kennedy family.
I know
that I know. I'll just take the jewels and all that drama in exchange for not having a life cut short.
Yeah, I agree. Although the Kennedy wives aren't too cursed.
Yet. Knock on wood when you say that.
Knock on wood. God. Oh, boy.
All right. Would you rather watch a Lifetime holiday movie with Rupert Murdoch or John Paul Getty?
My God.
Both are such downgrades from me.
I know. I mean, yeah, I usually watch them with you. So, yeah, John Paul Getty, I feel like, would just be a complete downer the entire time.
Oh, 100%. He'd be whining a lot.
Rupert, I feel like, would probably fall asleep during the movie, so I wouldn't really have to deal with him too much.
Okay.
So I'm gonna go with Rupert Murdoch.
All right, that's fair.
That's a safer answer. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, he definitely would fall asleep.
Yeah. I mean, John Paul Getty probably would too, but
I feel like John
such a curmudgeon.
He'd be like, can we change it, please? Can we change it? It's like, no. I need to know if she's going to marry the prince.
I love that you think he'd say please. That's so cute. Okay, this one's fun. I really like this one. Would you rather bake Christmas cookies with Britney Spears or Beyonce?
Oh, can it be a threesome? Do I have to pick one or the other?
Yeah, you got to pick one.
My gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oof. This is actually really hard.
It is.
Because they both bring so much. I mean, at the very least, we will be singing the whole time.
Yes.
And I'll, you know, harmonize with them, blow their minds at how well I can sing.
Uh-huh.
I think I'm gonna go with Beyonce because mostly I just wanna, you know, talk about what is it like to be Beyonce?
I think Beyonce's a Virgo too, so as you know. She'd probably be very strict about how those cookies look. They're going to look good.
Okay. In that vein, would you rather have Donatella or Gianni decorate your house for Christmas? Which I know is something you can't even imagine because you think you're so good at it. And you are.
So I take Christmas decorating very seriously.
Truly the most seriously.
And I feel like Donatella would be like a little too modern for my taste.
Okay.
Whereas
that's fair.
Gianni, he's very like over the top and like classical.
Yeah.
I mean, you lived here. I love the like red and gold and green, like classic holiday. Mm-hmm. And I think Gianni's over the top vibe would be perfect for me. So I'm definitely going Gianni on this one for sure.
Yeah. That's fair.
Okay. This one's fun. Who would you rather kiss at midnight? Jay-Z or JFK Jr.?
Oh, boy. See, this is hard because I feel like they both would be more focused on what they're getting out of the kiss than what I'm getting out of the kiss. And that's really important, is you want it to feel very equal.
Okay.
So I guess I'd go with, just based off, oh my God, this is really actually hard. I'm going to say Jay-Z.
Okay.
I'm going to say Jay-Z because based off his songs, he really knows how, I was lying right through this. He really knows how to treat women. Obviously, not necessarily based off all of his songs, but I feel like he'd be a fun midnight kiss.
Yeah, I can see that for sure.
More fun than JFK Jr. I feel like he'd be very like one of those like quick pecks.
Yeah. Aren't you afraid of the wrath of Beyonce?
I mean, here's the thing. I baked Christmas cookies with her. Like, we have this understanding, and she's probably said, you know what? He's getting this one pass when the clock strikes midnight, and then that's it. And I'd be like, you know what? You can kiss my boyfriend whenever I get one. Even Steven.
Whenever I get one. I mean, listen, that's cool.
Okay. So now we're going to move on to another quick game called Date, Marry, Divorce.
Ooh, this should be a doozy. None of the marriages on this show are super solid, so.
Truly none of them.
This checks out.
Okay, Brooke. First up, okay. Of these three, who would you date, who would you marry, who would you divorce? JFK Jr., Sam Lutfi, and Jay-Z.
Okay. I'm going to date JFK Jr. because, I mean, let's be honest, he's a hottie. I'm going to marry Jay-Z because, I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a businessman. He's a business man. He's a mogul, and I'd love to be in that power couple. And then I'm obviously going to divorce Sam Lutfi.
Yeah.
I can't even picture his face.
You should like have those divorce papers right when you get married. Be like, hey, let's just sign them right after we sign our marriage certificate.
Exactly. Okay, this is a fun one.
Okay.
Donatella,
mm-hmm.
Britney Spears,
mm.
or Jackie O?
Ooh. Oh boy. Oh. Well, okay. So I'm going to divorce Jackie O.
Okay.
And nothing against her. She's got style, she's got class, but I don't have either of those. And it just that's going to be problematic after a time.
Yeah.
So I might as well just divorce her.
Okay.
I'm going to date Donatella during her party days. We're going to have a lot of fun, but we both know it's not going to go anywhere.
Right.
And I'm going to marry Britney Spears. And in marrying her, I'm going to save her.
Yes. I was hoping you'd say that.
Yeah. Okay. This one, I'm curious where you're going to go with this.
Okay.
Wendy Dang, Beyonce, and Princess Diana.
Ooh, okay. So, I'm gonna date Beyonce because I think she'd be a lot of fun. I almost married Beyonce, but I changed my answer just this second because I'm gonna marry Princess Diana so she can see what a real loving marriage is like.
Oh,
and I'm gonna give her so much love. Because she does.
Yeah.
That poor woman. I mean, come on.
She deserves it.
She deserves it. Beyonce is Beyonce. So.
Yeah. She's fine.
She doesn't need me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wendy, I'm going to divorce her because I don't want to be part of one of her crazy journal entries. You know what I mean?
Those are
those are wild and I don't want to be part of it.
Yeah. No, I get that. Totally.
Okay. The next one for you.
Mm-hmm.
We got Prince Philip.
Oof.
Prince Charles and Prince William.
Wow, a prince trifecta.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the easy one is I'm going to marry Prince William.
Yes, that's
because he seems very level-headed, very supportive, and I mean, to walk in Kate Middleton's shoes, I'm not going to complain about that. I think she's wonderful. As for dating and divorcing, I guess I'm going to Okay, hear me out. I'm going to divorce Prince Philip.
Oh.
Because he's old hat, whatever. I'm sick of him. Prince Charles, I'm going to date only because I'm going to date him not being in love with him. So I don't care that he ignores me. I just go to these parties like once every 6 months. We only have to go on like, what, 10 dates in our courtship?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I'm, and then he's like, you know, 6 months in Australia. While he's in Australia, I'm just living it up at Buckingham Palace or, you know, whatever state he sends me to and just having the time of my life.
What if he tells you he wants to be your tampon?
We're going to have an early breakup and I will just be alone and loving it.
Good. Very fair.
All right. Final one. Mm-hmm. So I want you to really think about this and I want to hear your honest answer.
Okay.
Jamie Spears, Ted Kennedy, and John Paul Getty Sr.
Okay. Okay. Now hear me out. This is going to be a wild ride, but I want you to stick with me. Okay.
I'm ready for it.
I'm going to divorce John Paul Getty Sr.
Okay.
Because, I mean, alimony, I guess, would be the only good thing to come out of that.
Yes. And you've earned it if you were married
to him. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm going to date Ted Kennedy.
Okay.
And I'm going to marry Jamie Spears.
Brooke.
And I'm
going to
trap him in a room for our entire marriage. And I'm going to be like, how do you like it? So,
all right. I can appreciate that.
I'm petty enough to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
When it comes
to Jamie
Spears. That's
a nice serving of pettiness. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Marry for petty. Marry for pettiness.
Like, that'll be my resolution for next year. It's inspiring. Thanks again to Ollie Williams and Bobby Finger. It was so much fun having them celebrate this dumpster fire of a year with us.
Oh my God, it really was. Can you believe we actually made it to the end of 2020? This year has been 2 decades long.
At least. Thankfully, once we hit January, our long national nightmare will finally be over.
Yes, plus we'll get the vaccine.
But even better than that, we'll have new stories about the rich and famous to tell you. And I'll be taking over to talk about the very first influencer, Paris Hilton. Hilton.
That's hot.
I know. Can you imagine? And I'll give you 2 guesses who we'll be following her up with.
Ooh, is it the Marmashians?
Close enough. We're going to be talking about Kim Kardashian and the Kardashian-Jenner empire.
Ooh, maybe by the end, we'll be famous for being famous.
Okay, but don't hold your breath. I'm Arisha Skidmore-Williams.
And I'm Brooke Ziffrin. This episode was produced by Natalie Shisha and Kate Young. Our audio engineer is Sergio Enriquez. Our executive producers are Jenny Lauer-Beckman, Stephanie Jens, and Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.